Jackson, El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show. You know, we were just listening to some Sammy Hagar music during our break. And welcome back here. Truth is our bitch. Along with me, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard. We have more to report. Just a lot of stuff, you know, as we get ready for a weekend. And I don't know why I've been looking forward to this weekend more than others, but I know it's going to be a busy week next week. Join us for our Bobby Dooley podcast, which is on iTunes right now. If you haven't heard, Bobby has her own podcast, and she'll be interviewing some of the big celebrities in the business. She's got Patty Arquette coming up as Joel McHale. We've got Sugar Ray Leonard. We have George Lopez. We've got some good ones. And that's the Bobby Dooley podcast. And let's see, other news, you know, just other things. We've also updated our website. If you haven't gotten a backstage pass, it's a great time to get a backstage pass, because if you are a mobile user, especially a mobile user of your iPhone, using your iPad and so forth, we now stream for those devices. Live video streaming of our show right now on your mobile device or on demand if you'd like, tomorrow or whenever, peoples. And, of course, that on-demand extends to thousands of hours of on-demand audio, radio shows that go back over a decade, full three-hour shows, brilliant comic efforts, if I do say so myself, available to you there at philhendryshow.com. We're going to have to, can we do a commercial or something?
Well, why do you want to do a commercial?
Because I'm tired of doing these live promos. Can't we have like a commercial voiced by Harrison Ford? Hi, I'm, you know, somebody who's, so it's a third, so I'm not sitting here pitching myself, if you don't mind.
If you'll pardon the expression.
Exactly. All right, speaking of Harrison Ford, a little bit of news about him, but screw that. Let's get on to the really good stuff. And that is, well, it's not really the really good stuff, but in Dunedin, Florida, last November, then Marlins shortstop Jose Reyes sat down to dinner with his boss, owner Jeffrey Loria. The two chatted about the future, specifically Reyes' future in Miami. Loria encouraged his star to find a nice house in South Florida. Days later, he was traded.
What a cruel thing to do.
Well, you know what? I don't. Let's just read on. Let's find out. Let's get to the bottom of this here. Jose Reyes is looking forward to stepping up with the Toronto Blue Jays. That was the story Reyes told on Friday at Blue Jays camp in Dunedin, Florida, where he is now starting another spring training as a member of a supposed dream team. Well, the last dream team, as we know now, was built on false promises and empty words. These are the words of the writer, by the way, not mine, folks. The Marlins, looking like World Series contenders, opening a brand-new, mostly publicly financed ballpark 1 year ago, have been mostly dismantled by their owner. Loria's Marlins dealt Reyes, Mark Burrell, Josh Johnson, John Buck, and Emilio Bonifacio to Toronto last November for a few prospects and other players. All the hope for another World Series title in South Florida has, much like Reyes, gone north. Reyes, like star pitcher Burrell, what's this guy's name? Burrell?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't follow baseball. I just follow the intrigue, you know.
You don't follow baseball. Then why are you doing that story?
Because it looks like it's juicy stuff where a guy is, you know, acting like a jackball. I like that.
So you just like the gossip and all the destructive news.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do, Margaret. Okay?
Well, then you'll like my column coming out on Monday.
I don't want to hear about it right now. So Reyes was only in town for one season. He always told me he was never going to trade me, Reyes said on Friday. He told my agent, get a place here to live, before he traded me days before the trade. Reyes then went on vacation with his wife and heard a rumor about the trade. I thought it was a joke. When I called my agent, he said, yes. Reyes said he was in disbelief for 2 weeks. He's a happy guy, an optimistic guy, but he told the story about the dinner with a look of disappointment and resentment. He never heard from Loria or anyone at the Marlins about the deal. Reyes still hasn't heard from anyone at the Marlins, period, and he assumes that he won't. How are you going to tell me to spend some money on a house and then trade me in 2 days? Asked if he'd had any advice for free agents considering signing with the Marlins, Reyes said, I don't need to say anything. You see what happened. I signed up for 6 years. I played one. Loria's reputation is so bad that a reporter asked Reyes if the owner even picked up the check for the dinner. Reyes said it was an awards dinner. Which means nobody had to pick up the check, I guess.
What's that mean, award dinner?
They were at an awards dinner where there were a lot of guys invited to go to an awards dinner. Later Friday morning, Blue Jays general manager Alex Anthopoulos directly referenced Reyes's treatment by Loria when he said, "We build our trust on actions, not on words." Loria's actions speak for themselves. He pushed Miami into backing a $634 million house of cards that fell apart when he dumped $181 million in salary months after the gleaming stadium opened. Loria and team president David Sampson are now considered, as Yahoo Sports' Jeff Passan writes, quote, "the con artists who pilfered Miami's money before moving on to its dignity," end of quote. That's the real injustice here. Reyes will be fine. "I'm not in Miami no more," he said. That's what he said. I'm not in Miami anymore, he wanted to say. He said,
"Don't clean it up, Phil. I think children need to hear how these men speak."
Well, he meant to say it good. He has a new team and new hope. The Blue Jays already have sold out their first home game against Cleveland. Well, isn't that great?
Why are you being so cynical about it? Better than what the Miami Dolphins did, or whatever they're called.
Marlins, not Dolphins. The Dolphin is the football team. The Marlins, the baseball team. Dolphin is a mammal. Marlin is a fish. Dolphin is something that is friendly and swims and laughs and chirps to humans. The Marlin we eat.
That's not a very good name for a team, then.
No, I wouldn't think that it is. In the one instance, you have an animal that is decidedly the predator. The dolphin, as a matter of fact, is dangerous to sharks. Sharks are scared to death of dolphins.
They are?
Yeah. When a shark sees a dolphin, man, it turns and goes the other way, because dolphins, they will nail those sharks to the wall. They kick ass on sharks. But a marlin, nothing more than a blue plate special. All right.
Yes, but it does take a long time to pull that big bad boy in, those marlin. You know that, right?
Well, I know it's a great sport fish, but nonetheless, fish it is, and pulled in it will be. And I heard from a friend of mine who said that they're catching marlin. I already told you this. They're catching marlin like 2 miles off the coast of Florida. They think it's because of the oil spill. Marlin is generally something you don't catch. You got to go out miles, man, way out there.
Like how far?
But just long way, man, like 10, 15, 20 miles. But now they're catching them, and as close in as like 3-4 miles. And this friend said to me, "Well, we think it's the oil spill, and for that we're grateful." No, they didn't say that at all.
I would think they wouldn't say that. That's a terrible thing to say.
Well, come on, I'm joking around. But if you figure it's going to send sport fish like marlin that close in, you really get a good shot at them, and all you have to do is rent a dinghy and go out for the day and sit there like a dumbass, you know, with a little blow-up water wing on and a bamboo pole. Thank God for BP. I'm kidding, okay?
Miss Sarah, a lot of people think you're going to be serious.
I'm joking. All right. There is real excitement among Toronto fans. Marlins fans, not so much. The city of Miami is left high and dry on the hook for $2.4 billion when the full bill for the 40-year financing of the ballpark is due. There wasn't even one season of great baseball for all that money, as the Marlins finished in last place for the second straight year. Several days ago, when single-game tickets went on sale at the still-new Marlins Stadium, a photo of the line outside the park circled the web. There were fewer than 5 people waiting. "I feel bad for the fans of Miami," Jose Reyes said. I worked and lived in Miami for almost 3 years, and I saw that city as a sports city. And I got this, and now you got to understand, and I don't mean to say, you know, but I'm just telling you, I grew up in a city that is a big city, Los Angeles, but does not have a long history of major league sports, comparatively speaking. The first major league team to come out here were the L.A. Rams. They came from Cleveland in 1945. And then there was a span of 13 years before the Dodgers arrived, and then came the Lakers, and then the Angels, and then eventually the Kings were an expansion team. The Clippers moved here and so forth. But I can generally smell whether a city is a sports city or whether it's a city that it doesn't really get the reality of what it takes. And the reason why I'm saying that is, when I was in Miami, I knew for a fact that it's a football town. Miami loves the Dolphins. I don't care if the Dolphins finish in last place. I don't give a damn. It doesn't matter. It's always going to be a football city. It just is. It's got a long tradition of collegiate sports down there, collegiate football, that sink deep in that city. The Dolphins were a ball club that from the early years, about, you know, 8 years into their existence, they were winning Super Bowls. And ever since then, the people of Miami consider the Dolphins to be that kind of a team, always just on the verge of a Super Bowl, no matter what is happening. The rest of it, man, I don't get that sense at all.
You talking about like the Marlins?
All of it. Even the next team that really I saw passion for were the Panthers, the Florida Panthers, the hockey team. And I was there when the Panthers went to the Stanley Cup. I think it was 96, 95, 96. And people loved the Panthers. Loved them. But I didn't get a sense that it was like a permanent fixture there. The Heat, maybe, the Panthers and the Heat may be probably the next big solid franchises. The Marlins, I don't get it, man. You know, it's a baseball team in the summer in Miami. What are you talking? You're talking about rain. And now they got a brand new stadium, and the fans down there foot the bill for these stadiums while their school districts and the schools.
Well, here you go again with schools, Phil. This is entertainment. This is our business.
Our business is not to rob money from much needed things like education to stick it into a baseball stadium or a hockey stadium. When they built that hockey stadium there in Sunrise for the Panthers, you understand they've got a separate arena for the Heat. They got a separate arena for the damn Panthers. They got a ball. You know, even in L.A., the Kings and the Lakers and the Clippers all play in one arena. You know, it's just they make it work.
Yes, but South Florida's not like that.
No, South Florida is not like that. The municipalities there and the governmental... The governmental jurisdiction and administration is split up into so many different little entities. The cities are all very small. The counties are all very small. And everybody's sort of vying for its own little piece of the pie, that there isn't any kind of a centralized effort like that. So, you know, you got a hockey team up there in Sunrise, Florida, basketball team now down near downtown. You got the Dolphins that are playing at, I guess, what, you know, they're still out there near Fort Lauderdale or wherever the hell it is. What the hell else they got? The Marlins, I don't know where that ballpark is.
In Miami.
Yeah, I know. It's in somewhere near Miami. But like I said, even in a town like this, and even in New York City, the Rangers and the Knicks are playing in one arena. So, you know, we'll see. But that I thought was an interesting thing. And when I left Miami, they were hating on Wayne Huizenga. I think maybe what they do down there is they just hate guys that own the teams. Maybe that's it. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Harrison Ford rumors fuel middle-aged Star Wars trilogy, I roll across the galaxy. In other words, who cares? Harrison Ford back with Star Wars. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show in a moment.
Truth
Thank you.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Remember the Olympics last year? Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Remember the Olympics last year? There was a man by the name of Oscar Pistorius from South Africa, a double amputee. He won the hearts and the, you know, minds and the teardrops of a great many of us that were watching the Olympics, as he did not medal, but he did do very, very well, making it to the semifinals of the 400 meters. And he made it to the finals of the 4x400 relay, he propelling the world's best-known Paralympian to the level of an international track star and one of the world's best-known sportsmen. So this was at the legitimate Olympics. A double amputee, he had these prosthetics that were similar to, they called him Blade Runner because they were similar to blades on ice skates. Well, this guy is now on trial, or will be soon on trial, for his ass. A charge of premeditated murder against him has been filed in South Africa for killing his model girlfriend. Olympic superstar Oscar Pistorius wept in court Friday as prosecutors said they'll pursue a charge of premeditated murder against him for killing his model girlfriend, meaning the man who once inspired the world could spend the rest of his life in prison. Pistorius' family and London-based management issued a statement disputing the murder charge he now faces for the slaying of Riva Steenkamp. The athlete himself initially appeared solemn and collected in his first court appearance, but later sobbed loud enough for his cries to be heard over the more than 100 spectators gathered for the hearing. Wow.
Oh, my. Man up, for God's sake.
Yeah, man up, dog.
Man up, dog.
All right, take it easy.
Got a man up.
Yeah, I know you got a man up. So in any, the guy's, you know, His tears even drew the attention of Chief Magistrate Desmond Nazer, who at one point simply said, "Man up, dog." No, he didn't. He said, "Take it easy." I don't mean to make a joke out of it.
Phil, a young lady is dead, Phil.
Who's the one that said, "Man up, dog," first?
You did, Miss Gray.
So did you.
The double amputee athlete's arrest stunned South Africa, which awoke the morning of Valentine's Day to hear that Steenkamp had been shot to death at Pistorius' home in a gated community in the eastern suburb of South Africa's capital, Pretoria. Police said investigators recovered a 9mm pistol from the house. Wow, man. You never know. In Pretoria Magistrate Court on Friday, throngs of photographers, videographers, and journalists besieged the brick-walled Courtroom C, where Pistorius appeared. Nazer's first ruling in the matter focused on the press. He dismissed requests from a private television station and the state broadcaster to air the hearing live. This is the judge, Desmond Nazer. He also ordered that no photographs be taken while court was in session. That left kneeling photographers less than a meter, 3 feet from Pistorius, to simply stare at a man some previously photographed sprinting on his famous carbon fiber blades as he cried uncontrollably. His brother Carl and his father Henke reached out at separate times to comfort him as he sat in the dock. Can you imagine that, man? Your life is over.
You don't know if he did it or not.
I don't know if he did it or not. No, you're right. But, a man is innocent until proven guilty, but as you know, as you well know, and as we all should know by now, that doesn't mean we're not allowed to speculate on someone's innocence or guilt outside of the courtroom. We can do that. Say a man's innocent until proven guilty doesn't mean you get to sit there. If you say a man's innocent until proven guilty, what does that leave a cop?
Well, the cop is allowed to. He's the one that's proving the guilt or the innocence.
Yeah, but if you're not allowed to talk about whether a guy's guilty or innocent before he goes to trial, and which I don't believe. I mean, in a courtroom, you're innocent until proven guilty. That is the legal standard, and that is what should be. But out here in the real world where we're all sitting around with our thumb up our ass and we're having a cup of coffee and we're looking at the day and we don't know whether we're going to go to work or go fishing and we say, "Hey, how about that guy? I think he's guilty." What do you think cops do?
Well, the cops don't make that conclusion, I don't think.
Yeah, they do. They'll see a guy, "I like this guy."
Yeah, they will. "I think you're dirty."
Yeah, they use cop terms like that.
"You're dirty," or "I like this guy."
"I'm dirty."
No, not you. So a cop will say, "I think the guy's guilty." And they don't necessarily have all the evidence yet. You know.
Well, right there, bingo, you just said the magic word, Phil, because if cops are thinking that way, that means they're saying, "I like this guy, and I'm going to go after this guy, whether I have the proof or not." And that's why we have these things that happen, like I saw on ID, where the guy was in prison for 18 years, and he didn't do it.
Well, okay, Mark. I don't know all of these stories you're going to be telling me. But the fact is, when cops get if a cop believes the guy's guilty and he doesn't have all of his ducks in a row, he's going to go out and get the needed proof or whatever he thinks that the state needs to prove that this guy's guilty. But the cops start from the idea, well, here's the direction I think it's going in. Here's the guy that I think is guilty. And then they've still got to get the proof. Prosecutor Jerry Nell said in court he would pursue a charge of premeditated murder against Pistorius for allegedly killing Steenkamp, a 30-year-old model known for her vamping bikini pictures in men's magazines and appearances in commercials.
What's that mean?
What?
Vamping.
Vamping bikini picture. I don't know. I think it means, excuse me, I know what a vamp is in a music term. It's an extended piece. Maybe these big, long bikini pictures.
Big, long bikini pictures. That's...
All right. You know, in any event, I don't know. Police said Friday that investigators conduct an autopsy on Steenkamp's body. Lieutenant Colonel Ketlego Mogale said the results of the autopsy would not be published.
That guy black?
Why are you asking that, bud?
Well, Mugabe.
Well, then I guess he is, man. Why are you asking?
What are you laughing about, man?
Just, you know...
Hey, man, you know, your racism, man, you know, may be funny to you and your friends, but I'll tell you right now, I hear one more laugh out of you.
Sorry, it's...
Bud, knock it off, okay? You got a stupid name, Dickman.
Yeah, how about that, man?
Anyway, the alleged murder is disputed in the strongest terms, said the statement that was read by his defense attorney. Pistorius entered no plea at the hearing. His family left quickly without speaking to journalists who followed them outside. And the family and the management questioned the criminal charge that the 26-year-old athlete was facing. He wants to send his deepest sympathies to the family of Riva. He would also like to express his thanks through us today for all the messages of support. He said it's a terrible, terrible tragedy, but we dispute it in the strongest terms. Interesting what they're going to claim in this courtroom. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show this Saturday morning. Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. So, Bobby Dooley on the line with us here from Western Estates very briefly. So, Bobby, we rolled out your podcast this week. How you feeling about it?
Well, we're very excited, Phil, and we enjoyed very much interviewing Patty Arquette. And we also enjoyed very much Sugar Ray Leonard. And I think it went very well, and I think people are going to enjoy the Bobby Dooley podcast.
And you call it why?
Because we had a great many people critical of what they thought was my dismissive tone, and I think we were very successful in letting people know that when I go and Steve's here, and you know Steve, really I'm there for you. I'm listening to you, and I'm hearing what you have to say to me. So I'm acknowledging your existence, really.
A lot of people, they don't know about their existence.
People want their existence acknowledged, their very existence.
Not their presence, their existence.
Their very existence, yeah.
So when you were interviewing Patty Arquette, were you acknowledging her very existence?
Well, not with so much with a Patty Arquette, because her existence has been acknowledged up to then. So I'm just acknowledging her existence, but everyone else already has acknowledged her existence.
Now, you called because we had been talking about, actually, I had been talking to Steve, and I'd been talking to your eldest son, Dylan, about hiding from a girlfriend's mother, and you wanted to say something about that?
When you were hiding from this girl's mother, I was taken aback, Phil. I was asking myself, are you serious? You know, and of course, then I asked, are you for real? You know, are you for real hiding from the mother?
When you say, am I for real? What?
Well, you're telling my son, first of all, how old are you, Phil, that you're hiding from a girl's mother?
No, I was doing this when I was a kid, when I was 18.
Oh,
no, you're talking about hiding from the mother.
Yeah, when I was a kid, when I was 18 years old, I was hiding from a girl's mother. I was in the closet. At the girl's house.
Did the girl know you were there?
Yes, she knew I was there. I was there, and then her mom got home, and she said, hide in the closet.
Oh, okay. Hey, Dylan. Hey, Mr. Hendry was like 18.
Oh, okay. That was like an old man.
No, you weren't hiding from an old mother. You were your age, right?
Are you kidding, man? What do you think I am, anyway?
Well, Phil, in your position as a radio talk talent, as a radio talk talent host personality.
As a radio host. How about that?
All right. In your position, don't you find yourself capable of having a girlfriend what still lives at home?
No, I don't. And I don't look for that anyway, and so I'm not interested in that, and that's really kind of a grotesque thing to be talking about. I'm talking here about when I was a 18-year-old kid, I think. Might have been 19.
How old was the girl that you was with?
She was 18. Don't worry about it, man.
Why was she sleeping at home?
Because what are you talking about? She was sleeping at home.
Well, don't get defensive, Mr. Hendry. I'll find out about it.
Yeah, we were worried, Mr. Hendry.
I understand that, Dylan, that you were worried. No, I wasn't 60 years old hiding in some girl's house from her mother. And I said that because Dan and I were talking about the old days, you know, when we were teenagers. The whole thing about, like, because there's a story here about Terrell Owens. And Terrell Owens was escorted off of some woman's property this morning, actually Friday morning in Los Angeles, after banging on the door for 3 hours. Now, Terrell Owens, the former wide receiver, a professional football wide receiver, a variety of teams from the San Francisco 49ers to the Dallas Cowboys to the Philadelphia Eagles, all kinds of clubs, and a pretty good wide receiver in his day. He was confronted by the LAPD around 4:30 in the morning after cops got a call that he'd been banging on a woman's door for 3 hours and refused to leave. And I was saying, who bangs on somebody's door for 3 hours, you know?
Well, a man that's stalking a woman. And so I was concerned that you were stalking a teenager.
No.
Oh, okay. He wasn't doing that.
Yeah, my son was scared.
Yeah, your son was scared. Well, with all due respect, Steve, you know, your kids get scared and you get scared because maybe you need to scare up a few more, you know, brain cells.
Oh, my God. Did you hear that, Steve?
Yeah, that's the old thing you say to me, Mr. Henry.
Well, I'm sorry, man. You're going to sit there talking to me about hiding from some girl's mother. I'm 60 and she's an underage minor or whatever it is. You know, I'm going to get a little angry about that.
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm sure you would understand. This has been very busy around here. We just interviewed a bunch of stars. We have our own podcast coming out that people are going to want to download. And we're on the verge of a very significant upgrade in lifestyle around here. We've got to be careful as to who it is, you know, we pick as our friends. I realize you're responsible for the podcast that we are on. But by the same token, I may have to leave you in the dust. Just like that Jeff Loria guy left that other guy in the dust, you know. What was his name?
That Jose guy?
Yeah, the Jose guy.
Well, you know, don't let me stop you, Bobby. If you got to leave me in the dust and move on with your upgrade in lifestyle, I certainly do understand that. But you don't get to talk about me in ways that are not true. And I'm not hiding from some girl's mother. I was a teenager at the time. And we were talking about, do you stalk people? And
Have you ever stalked a teenager?
Would you stop already with the stalking of a teenager? When I was a young kid, and one of the things when you get older, you get smarter, hopefully, especially in matters of love. I mean, hopefully you do. And when I was a kid, yeah, I got obsessed. Dan and I were talking about chicks that we were obsessed with. I banged on the door of some girl's house that scared her enough that she called her boyfriend, who happened to be her new boyfriend, who happened to be a friend of mine.
Oh, boy, that must have been humiliating.
I'll bet you, oh my God, I'll bet you tucked your tail between your legs on that one.
To be honest with you, yes, I did. It was very humiliating. And I suddenly kind of stood there and I felt really like a total turd. And I turned around, I hopped on my little 250 Kawasaki motorcycle, never to be seen again. It was only maybe 30 days after that I got into a small Volkswagen with two friends of mine and hightailed it to Florida. And I was gone for the next 6 years. And when I came back to L.A., I was in radio.
Wow, you just took off.
Didn't want anybody to hide their hair of you, huh?
Well, I mean, I wasn't planning on staying there for that long, but I got down there and my life just sort of went in a different direction. You might say that moment of humiliation was a good thing. It drove me into, it drove me into the arms of another woman.
Who is that?
Nobody, I'm just making that up. All right, so thank you very much, Bobby, and...
Wait a minute, I'm not done. My podcast...
Yeah, I can take it from here. Thank you very much.
Look at the jealousy on you.
Not jealousy. I just don't want to listen to her blah, 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 blah. Be sure to download the Bobby Dooley podcast. It's there at iTunes. You can also, I think we're going to get a feed going, so it'll be available at philhenryradio.com, philhenryradio.com as well. So here's the story of that. Terrell Owens was confronted by the LAPD around 4:30 a.m. What, bud?
Just the way you said that. So here's the story of that.
Yeah, it did, man. It sounded like an announcer or something.
So here's the story of that.
All right, take it easy before I haul off and clock you again. Terrell Owens was confronted by the LAPD around 4:30 a.m. Friday after cops got a call that he'd been banging on a woman's door for roughly 3 hours and refused to leave, TMZ has learned. Owens was not arrested, but according to law enforcement sources, the woman who lives in the home says she couldn't get the guy to go away after she made it clear he wasn't welcome. When cops arrived to the scene, the woman told police she was not afraid for her safety. She just wanted him off the property ASAP. Cops passed the message along to the ex-NFL star, who obliged, and just like that, the crisis was over. TMZ reached out to Tio for comment. So far, no word back. You're not the... It sucks, man. You know, you're not the star you once were, Terrell. Not that, you know, not that you're not, you know, still a hunky guy and people love your celebrity, but... So that's what we were talking about anyway. Harrison Ford. Here's the latest Star Wars bombshell that may or may not disappoint everyone in the universe. Harrison Ford is apparently set to return to Episode 7 as Han Solo. The scoop comes from Latina Review's El Mayimbe, who says it's a done deal, and while his sources can be solid, obviously it's not official in any way. This is from a Latin newspaper called El Mayimbe.
Does that mean Star Wars in Mexican?
Does that mean Star Wars in Mexican?
You mean Spanish, bud.
I mean Spanish?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Well, is it a Star Wars? Is a Spanish Star Wars? They ought to do Star Wars in Spanish. Have they done that?
I'm sure they've overdubbed it.
No, with a whole Spanish cast. With a whole... Shoot it in Argentina with a whole Spanish cast.
I don't know that they have, bud. I don't think that they will. I think it's a waste of money. I don't know. Maybe the Argentinian filmmakers, they can come up with their own Star Wars down there. What do you think?
Yeah, they don't make them good down there. They only make wrestling movies.
Where?
In Argentina.
What do you mean they only make wrestling movies?
Isn't that why they make the good wrestling movies?
You're talking about Mexico. They made the Phantom I don't know, man. Wrestling movies. As the playlist points out, there have been other murmurs about the original trio of lead actors getting involved. For instance, Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker, told Entertainment Weekly in October that he and Carrie Fisher met with George Lucas about plans for the new trilogy. Only one problem there, Mark. George doesn't own the franchise anymore. He don't have nothing to say about it nohow.
Well, they're going to go along with him.
I know. I'm just screwing around there, Mark. Anyway, they met with George Lucas about plans for the new trilogy, though there was no mention as to whether they would reprise the roles. A Lucas biographer who wrote an unauthorized book on the director told The Wrap, as in Fish Wrap, that the new trilogy, which Disney vaguely plans to pick up when Return of the Jedi left off, features Luke Skywalker in his 30s or 40s. So we didn't really even... what? So we didn't really ever think a Star Wars film about a middle... Oh, get out of here. I can't read this crap, man. Every time you guys editorialize and you start missing, you know... So what they're going to do is come up with something where Luke Skywalker is now 40 and having a hard time going to the bathroom, I guess.
You don't know if that's true, that they have an invention.
Wait a minute, what did you say?
I'm joking around, but I mean, they're going to pick up with a Luke Skywalker who's, you know, shuffling to the toilet in the middle of the night.
Yeah, because he's like getting on, he's 40.
Well, you don't shuffle to the toilet when you're in your 40s, did you?
That's none of your beeswax. But obviously, they're picking up with a Luke Skywalker who is older and maybe not wiser, maybe dumber. And maybe he's eating, you know, Star Wars, the futuristic version of cat food, for all we know.
Yeah, probably some kind of dinosaur.
Yeah, whatever they have for a pet.
You know, maybe he's fallen hard on hard times.
You'd love to see that, wouldn't you? You'd love to see the very magical and the most beautiful Star Wars, the very magical Star Wars franchise... You'd love to see it reduced to Luke Skywalker fumbling with cat food with his fingers sitting in what passes for an alley on the rebel planet.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to see.
What is so funny about that?
What's funny about it? It's hysterical. Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker fumbling with cat food in a rebel planet alley. I don't know. So anyway... The Harrison Ford news obviously raised a lot of questions across the internet on Friday. Do we actually want to see this gang getting so old? Will it be fun? Or rather, a depressing commentary on the nature of time? And how the heck are all these aging space warriors going to save the universe this time? You know, I think they do it. You don't have old people doing things that nobody is going to believe an old person will do. You have old people do things that you think people will believe they'll do. You have them outwitting and outthinking. You have them in an apparent position of vulnerability only to turn the tables at the last minute. You have them do the heroic things that an old person can do. I mean, what are they? Pick up a handgun and blow the guy away as he's coming through the window, that sort of thing.
So in other words, reduce Star Wars to a breaking and entering.
No. But I mean, if you want to, you know, if you want to use these actors and use them effectively, you've got to use them in a very real way. And the reality is, they're older, they're still our heroes, so what do our heroes do now that they are in their, you know, in their dotage? Well, we'll find out. All right. We'll be right. What do people love about their grandparents?
Money.
Their money. So maybe they're wealthy and their money. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show to close out this marvelous Friday night show. Marvelous Friday night show where truth is our bitch.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous.
What do you call that? You trying to get some advice from me?
Yeah, what you say about that?
We've got to hear this, Phil. You were talking with Dan about what?
We're talking about the, Dan was saying that one of his female friends, you know, before he got married, he says, the best way to pick up a woman is to go into the bar with another female, like a female friend. And so it looks like there is competition for you already. And
what did you say?
I said, there's another technique, which is just go into the bar by yourself to have a drink and not care whether anybody notices you or any woman, you know. So you can go to a lot of those. You can go to that extent, or you can just like, I don't really give a damn, you know, I'm going in, I'm going to have a beer, you know.
That ever work for you?
No. All right. Well, then what? Never mind. But it didn't work, but I didn't care. Well, actually, yeah, it did. I mean, yeah, as a matter of fact, it did. I remember a couple of girls sitting there. This was right after I got separated, and I was by myself, and I felt like hell, you know. I just felt like hell. And I wasn't even there to meet a woman. I was there just for some company. It was the black, dark days, really dark days, man. I when I look back on those days now, I can't even believe that I survived it. We just separated. Everything was going wrong in my life. Everything was going wrong in my life. And I went over to this little restaurant bar that was across the street from my house, and I would go there just to have some human company, you know. And I got into a habit where I would eat dinner at the bar, because that's where I wanted to have my dinner. And then I would buy a bottle of wine, and whatever I didn't finish, I took with me.
Well, so you're getting snockered.
Well, guess what, Margaret? I'm walking, okay? So...
Oh, well, I did not. You didn't drive.
No, it was right across from this condo, this townhouse that I had. So I did this every Saturday night. And the people in there were the sweetest people. They say, oh, here comes Phil, you know, and they would lay out my little napkin for me and set my table and set my place for me. And I would say, I'd like that. I always had the same thing. I was on a diet. I had a steak and I'd have my bottle of wine. And I'll never forget one night, these girls sat down next to me. And after a while, it was, do you want to dance? Asking me if I wanted to dance.
What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, bud. Such things do happen. You know.
Well, had you been talking to them?
Yeah, I struck up a conversation with them, but I didn't start the conversation. They were saying, oh, that looks good. What is that, a bottle of wine? It's a bottle of wine. I don't know what the hell I was drinking. But the point that I'm making here is I probably looked pathetic, you know.
Yes, a lot of women feel sorry for men, and they want a mama, you know.
Oh, well, that's my, like, Mr. Doja, you need your mama.
Yeah, is that it, Phil? You needed your mama.
Maybe I needed my mama. I don't know. Maybe I look like I needed my mama because I felt like hell. I just sat there, and it was the only joy I had in my life, too. I mean, during the week, it was just, I can't even describe it, man. You know, my whole life had turned upside down. And so I was there, and I'm eating my little steak, and I'm having my bottle of wine. Yeah, I probably looked like a pathetic, you know, guy. Maybe I looked like a pathetic guy who had a couple of bucks because I don't know what it was, you know.
Well, the fact you were sitting at the bar and having dinner, it looked like you knew the people there. Was it an expensive bottle of wine?
Well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, one night I bought a bottle of wine that I never would ever in my wildest dreams. I never should have paid. I think I spent about 50 or 60 bucks on this thing. But anyway, these women and...
How old were they?
Well, they were probably... I was in my 50s. I'd say they were in their 30s. But... So I danced with them, but I didn't really want to dance, you know. And I sat down... And I just decided, okay, I'll give you all a break. And I took all four of them back to my townhouse and had sex with them. And,
kidding?
I'm joking. No, I didn't, okay?
Well, what happened?
What happened was they just, you know, left. I was not, you know, going to, I wasn't in the mood. And you know what? There you go. That's when you're at your luckiest, guys, when you're not in the mood and you don't, couldn't be bothered. That's when every beautiful woman within, you know, 20 square miles will find their way to you. when you're sitting there depressed and you just, you know. So there you have it. It's like my friend Carter used to say when he'd go to the Pink Lady Lounge there in Palm Springs, as he thought that the quality of entertainment there was getting lower and lower, and his famous line was, I'd rather be at home with a good book. And next thing you know, he's married to a Playboy bunny. All right.
Seriously.
I'm exaggerating. All right. Could Michael Jordan play at 50? Speaking of, you know, whatever, virility. As Tim Grover walked out of the Hall of Fame induction speech 4 years ago, the observances of Michael Jordan's old slights, the settling of old scores, had already come and gone in the trainer's mind. All those years with Jordan and Grover understood to always be lurching toward tomorrow with the game's greatest player. I heard that speech differently than everybody else, Grover said. He thinks, he says, if I ever get the call, I'm going to be prepared for it, and I am now. Is Michael Jordan going to play basketball at the age of 50? This one guy, the trainer, thinks it could very well happen. All right. We'll see you guys on Monday. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. We're online at philhendryshow.com for all of the latest and the greatest, for live streaming video of our show, for thousands of hours of archived audio of our show, for our webisodes, for our video archives, for live streaming video. I think I already said that. Then certainly do join us at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass before they're all gone.
They can't be all gone.
I'm kidding. Until Monday at 10 Pacific, 1 a.m. Tuesday Eastern, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.